This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
And we were all meeting yeah. Bunk. We were all down.
What a great show that was.
Oh, we had that was a great show.
A lot of fun.
But the whole thing about it was you saw mine. You know what I'm saying? You saw my passion. Right. My energy. You just saw Joe sitting over there like, I really want to get excited. But all these damn Georgia fans are around me. And Randy's right here. I don't want to get too excited.
That's exactly right. As an Ohio State fan, living in the Southeast, you learn to kind of walk, speak quietly and carry a big stick. You know, like I'll try to stay humble as much as I can. And Ohio State typically makes that easy on me when, you know, they lose in big games like they have been the last few years. We nailed that game, though, how that game was going to go down. That's what I'm most proud of from that game. I hate to say it.
It really is true. Not to do too much back padding 3 years later, but, like, we sat there and basically said the exact way how that football game was going to play out, and then it did. since we're on it, and we'll get to some other stuff, it's a bye week anyway. What do you think happens between Ohio State and Indiana on Saturday?
I mean, my initial instinct is to say that Ohio State kind of gets by, like they've been kind of getting by to me most of this year. Yeah. Like, I watch them every week, and they're never blowing me away. It's kind of funny. I ranted to a friend after the Northwestern game because, again, it was one of those ones where you just expect them to just put them away by 40 points in the first half, and it just doesn't happen. Yeah. And I found myself saying, I miss Urban Meyer. Know, Urban Meyer would put this team away by 60 points. This would be a 59-0 win. And, for maybe, you know, when you're betting jelly beans and stuff, it helps to have a coach that you can rely on to do that. Mm-hmm. Say what you want about her, my great coach when he was at Ohio State.
Yeah,
that's really absolutely all I care about. So, but we'll see. You know, you never know how these things develop. But they were a frustrating team to watch. I think that Indiana just hasn't really been tested to the extent that they will get tested this weekend.
But is it the quarterback play? Is it just not where it's been? Obviously, they're not as good as CJ. Nobody's as good as CJ Stroud. But I was curious about the quarterback play. And also, losing their starting center, JP. Like, where did that rank? Because, you know, they were out the left tackle for a while.
Still out.
And so you have those two major losses going into a game like this.
Yeah, and that's a huge question mark going into this one, which I kind of wasn't thinking about when you asked me that about Indiana. That will throw a wrench into things for sure, because the center is responsible for so much, like in terms of the protection, and things can totally break down when you don't really have that operation going between the center and the quarterback. So that's going to be a big loss. And I don't know, like I think part of it is the quarterback play. I think part of it is the play calling, which I did not expect to be talking about as like a negative at this point with Chip Kelly coming in. I thought that was... I was kind of happy because they were going to go after Bill O'Brien, who was kind of set to come in to be their OC, and then things change. He goes to BC, and Chip Kelly's like, oh, well, that's an upgrade. And to me, I just get frustrated at the way that the predictability of the play calls, the running on first, second down, and not using Will Howard as a runner enough. And maybe that's partially on Will Howard, on not kind of pulling the ball and taking it on some of the read option stuff. But, it's been frustrating to watch. For me, is just how predictable they've been, especially offensively.
Yeah, I just look. I know he's still, you know, he's a great offensive mind and all that, a legend in the game. But like a Chip Kelly offense hasn't been like anything to write home about
he's
in
Marcus
college
Mariota.
Football for a minute. Like he's been, he
right,
you're right.
Right.
When he was at UCLA, they were okay a couple times, but nothing special. Like,
and it still feels like an offense from like the early 2010s instead of like a modern offense with a lot of like motions and all that stuff.
Because that's what it is. Like he revolutionized it back then, and then everyone's caught up and surpassed it. And when they hired him, I was like, all right, like I don't know that he's like the visionary that people view him as, but he certainly was.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right, let's talk some Falcons here. Obviously, what happened on Sunday against Denver was really bad, certainly worse than even people that might have thought that they would struggle against Denver could have anticipated. When you a few days now to look back and think on it, who should shoulder the most blame for what happened on Sunday?
Oh, man. It's hard. It's so hard to pin that down on one person because, there's so much blame to go around. Like, not one person can take it all.
Pass it around, then. Pass the blame around.
From the coaching staff, it's like, you know, I always say, like, these coaches have forgotten more about football than I'll ever know. But it certainly was frustrating to watch a team playing defense in their own red zone or in the defensive red zone and still playing like off coverage, like 8 to 10 yards on the corners, that's allowing some of these easy screen passes to be completed, to allow a rookie quarterback to dice you up like that, had 12 straight completions. Like, this team just gives up way too many completions in general. In fact, they allow 72% completion percentage to opposing quarterbacks, which is worse than the NFL. And what that does is it just, there's not enough negative and zero yardage plays created by this defense. And that's why it feels like every offense is able to kind of drive the ball down the field on them, maintain time of possession. And then that puts pressure on the offense to then try to be perfect and do it themselves. And it always just feels, watching these games, especially lately, obviously, these last couple games, feels like the yardage is a lot easier to come by for the the opposition than it is for the Falcons. It seems like things have to be absolutely perfect for the Falcons to pick up yards.
We were having that exact conversation yesterday.
Yes, we were.
Exact conversation.
Exact same conversation. Yeah.
Do you remember that throw that Kirk made to Bijan when he it was a great play. Bijan's like in motion, runs like a wheel kind of off that snap. Kirk drops it in a bucket. That's like perfect play. I was happy to see it, but it's like, damn, that's what it takes to get 15 yards. Like, you got to be that spot on. So you would like to see some of that easier, that easier offense. But I don't want to put all the blame on Zach Robinson. I do think that, you know, maybe defenses have caught up to what he's doing a little bit, and they've got to take some time to readjust. But, you know, I think my biggest issue with that game on Sunday was the defense and just the way that they were allowing that offense led by a rookie quarterback to go up and down the field on them.
Is there anything – What's the most optimistic thing that you're of? Is that word right? What are you most optimistic about, Joe?
Yeah, you got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's that you still have, like, a track record on your side in terms of, like, the Kirk Cousins and what he's done in his career, this offensive line and how good that a lot of these guys have been, the talent that's been on display. Offensively, I'm not super concerned. I think that they've run into some hard times, and this bye week comes at a good time for a guy like Zach Robinson to kind of look at the tendencies and things like that, and you know, come out with some more wrinkles that will help them. Defensively, it's tough. I guess the optimism comes from the fact that there could potentially be some scheme changes. I mean, Raheem Morris spoke to media for the last week before they broke for the bye on Monday at a conference call I was on, and he talked about, you know, needing the need for scheme change. And I think he talked about, like, wasn't systemic, but he was talking about, like, these, like, big words about, you know, like really at the core of what they're doing and how they need to kind of reassess some of that. So I have to think that if they are able to reassess, it's going to be better than what they've been putting out there as of late. This defense, I do want to give them some credit in that, like, there have been games where, like, against the Saints, for example, terrible in that first half, giving up big plays to Marcus Valdes-Scantling and Taysom Hill and stuff. But, you know, in the second half, they were able to lock them down. They've done that in second half, you know, periodically throughout the year. And so maybe that's something that they can start to build on. But I got to say, the defense just seems like they're playing less than the sum of their parts. Like, this is actually a defense that has, you know, you still have Grady and AJ who were on that 2022 defense. That was a full rebuild style defense. But you've added players. You know, you've got veterans in Matthew Judon and Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons. And it feels like this defense is actually producing worse results than that 2022 defense, where that 2022 defense would still give up a lot of yards between the 20s, but then at least they would lock down in that red zone area, and they actually were pretty decent in denying touchdowns and just limiting the points that opposing offenses had. And, you know, this defense here is not doing that. So I don't know. You just hope that they can come put their heads together and come up with something during this bye week.
Yeah, because personnel's
not.
How's
that for optimism?
Well, no, I'm with you. Like, no one thought the defense was going to be world beaters, but I thought that we optimistically viewed them certainly better than they have been. And I don't know, maybe some systemic realignment in the bye week, because the personnel's not changing. And
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And Raheem made it very clear that the coaching staff is not changing, so maybe they just sort of shift their philosophy a little bit. I don't know how quickly you can do that in a week off, but hopefully they can. Let me ask you one United question, just because obviously the improbable run continues. Do you think that they can keep the dream alive on Sunday against Orlando?
I think they've got every chance to go down to Orlando and win, and they did it on decision day, on the last game of the regular season, where they had to win. That was essentially a playoff game for them. They had to win and actually get the getting, obviously. And they went down there and did the job, and they didn't have really a full slate even. Like, they had a young academy player in Tyler Wolf in that starting lineup. I doubt he'll be starting for the team this Sunday. And at the time, Orlando was the hottest team in the league. I know a lot of the talk has been about Miami, and they obviously did have the best regular season in MLS history. But at the time, I mean, Orlando had won a bunch of games in their previous, like, dozen. They've been scoring like crazy. They've been scoring like 3 goals a game during that stretch, and Atlanta held them down and got the win. So I fully expect them to go down there with a lot of confidence. And I actually think that the one thing that could hurt them in that game is almost actually being overconfident because of that result and not kind of having that humble attitude that I think they brought towards Miami. But that's obviously something Dax and Brad and some of the other leaders on the team have been talking a lot about. So hopefully they can just maintain that idea that they're going to go down there and not totally dominate, and they might have to suffer it at times. But ultimately, if they just, you know, keep Orlando out of the net, they will find their own opportunities and they can capitalize on them.
Rob Valentino's not going to let them get overcome.
No, he's not.
He's going to have them ready. Yeah. They'll be in the right mindset for this one. Joe, thank you.
Appreciate it, JP.
All right. Thanks, guys.